the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Say what?
Yeah! Hey, what's up, Fudge Packers? Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm feeling hyphy as frick today, so this is going to be an energetic episode. Of course, I am Adam and Urine.
And we are ready to clap back at social norms, especially when it comes to marriage. Because this is Steve, and we're doing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet we're doing it. This week, we're talking about the 2011 PureFlix original, Marriage Retreat. And, like, what a cast. What an all-star lineup of actors and actresses who love God in this movie.
Yeah, show me your hands, because we gotta make sure you're not touching yourself while we tell you the list of this cast.
Mm-hmm.
Or the rest of this episode. So raise your hands.
Put your hands up. You're under arrest for touching yourself indecently while listening to a podcast.
Can they do that?
They should be able to. If they can't, then the government should pass some laws enabling police to do that.
This is why aliens haven't made contact yet, because we're all touching ourselves while listening to podcasts.
Exactly, yeah. Are there podcasts that are just like... Are there, like, porno podcasts? Is that a thing? I guess that's just, like, talking people off, but, like, that's got to be a thing, right? Like, an erotic podcast? It's got to exist.
I think a good telling of an erotic tale is definitely listenable, rather than needing, you know, visual medium.
Oh, certainly.
You're right.
Yeah, for sure. Real quick, before we get any further, I just want to play this song real quick, because we were talking about it earlier. I'm very hype on it. I just want to play 2 seconds of it.
Stimulate.
Anyway, I just wanted to play that. I'm trying to incorporate that song into the show somehow. I don't know how we're going to do it, so we'll just brute force it in at the start for no reason.
Maybe we should have a sports talk. I don't know.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. You know, us talking sports?
Yeah.
Highlight. Maybe highlight update.
There we go. That's a great... What's going on in the world of... Hey, Steve, I got a question for you. What's going on in the world of Hi-Li this week?
Ah, they lost.
Oh, okay. All right, so let's move on to the second most important question that we have, other than what's going on in the world of Hi-Li. Steve, what was the movie we watched? Whomst was the Bagger Vance of Run-On?
Oh, no. How did this question escape me for the past week? I haven't been thinking about this near enough.
Bro, it's an easy answer.
I would have to say it's Tommy Blaze.
Yeah, exactly. Done. Of course. Tommy Blaze is the Bagger Vance of everything he's in. Done. Next segment. Let's get to it.
The Lady with the Coke.
The Kevin Sorbo. Tweet of the Week.
Get your tweet ready. Here we go. Oh, crap.
All right, I do have my tweet ready. Don't you worry about that, none. And it happened at 4:24 p.m. on January 26, 2022.
Little dump and bake for Kev. I love it.
Yeah, and really open your ears for this one, because there's a lot to say in a little amount of words.
I'll turn the music down a little bit more for you.
Yes, please. Okay. Every day, I thank God I don't live in California. You almost didn't open your ears.
That's true. I thought I was trying to think. I was trying to get ahead of him and be like, "Where would you not want to live?" Like, he already lives in his best country in the world. So where would he not want to live? Like everywhere, I guess. I mean. Where does Kevin Sorbo live? I would have guessed he lives in California.
He lives in Texas or Florida or both. He probably has the states all over the place, but yeah.
No, of course. I just assumed because he was a part of the film industry in Hollyweird that he was in living in Hollyweird. But you're absolutely right. A guy like Kevin Sorbo is living in Texas to escape certain tax laws, or living in Florida because that's where crazy people live. So that all adds up.
I think so. I think the numbers are there. You read them to us, Fudge Packers. We don't read them to you.
Yeah, yeah. We're not here to read you anything.
Thank you.
Well, how do you feel about that tweet? How do you feel about calling communist Russia California?
I don't think there's a word missing in this tweet. I think he hits the nail on the head. His tone, his effortless wordplay, it's all there, baby.
Can you give us a read of that tweet one more time?
Every day, I thank God I don't live in California.
Beautiful. I mean, fair enough. You know, I get it, Kev. It's a place that doesn't really expound your morals and beliefs. That's fine. Live where you're most comfortable, Kev. On the toilet,
yeah,
apparently.
It's a failed state that has a super surplus in money.
Yeah, and they elected a film star to be their governor at one time. Could you imagine a place electing a celebrity to lead them? What a bunch of clowns that place would be. What an absolute joke in the eyes of the world that place would be if they elected a celebrity to run the country or the state or whatever.
Or whatever. I think he ran a shelter, a cat shelter there, too.
Oh, that's pretty cool, actually. Good for him.
Yeah. He's a good boy.
You know what we forgot? Thanks, Kev. Great as always. We love you so much. You know what we forgot to do in our excitement? Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's clasp our hands together and get ready to pray the Pure Boys Prayer.
God bless our podcast.
God bless all podcasts. We love you. Perfect. All right. Hey, maybe we found a spot for that song. Who knows?
And when you're doing that silently to yourself, make sure you're trying to crush your hands into each other.
Yeah, imagine there's a little grain of dirt in between your palms, and you're trying to turn that dirt into a precious diamond.
Yeah, and that dirt is your heart. And that diamond is your soul.
Wow, you're trying to crush your heart into your soul.
Duh.
You heard it here first, folks. Prayer is trying to crush your heart into your soul.
Into.
By putting enough pressure on your heart, it collapses and becomes your soul.
That's what dying is, duh.
Yeah, dying is someone prayed so hard over your body that your heart collapsed into your soul.
And then it flows up to heaven or down to hell, depending how dense your soul is.
And that's the biggest thing. That's the thing they don't tell you in churches. You want to keep your soul nice and loose and light. The heavier, the more density your soul contains, the easier it is for you to go straight to hell.
That's why you need to drink fizzy water and take as many antioxidants as you can cram into your mouth every day.
And this is going to sound counterintuitive, but you shouldn't consume Thickwit on a regular basis like that. While it is very good for you, the helium is good. It buoys your body, but the thickness of the Thickwit weighs down your soul. So really, it is like an unholy, evil, abysmal drink, but only in the afterlife. In regular life, it's great.
Unless you like pump it out of your system. If you die with Thickwit in you, then you're F.
Oh, my God. If you die choking on Thickwit, well, it's kind of your own fault, I guess, in that case. Like, yeah. You get what's coming to you. Enjoy hell.
Take it slowly, Thickwitites.
Isn't it weird that God was like, hey, Jesus, turn water into wine and just drink wine and wine's your body. But also, Samson, don't you dare touch that wine. I swear to God, if you drink wine, I will take your powers away.
God's dumb sometimes, I think. Or we can end the show. Flip-flops.
No, we can end the show with that one. God's dumb sometimes.
The P, the U.
The P, end.
End.
Hey, let's go, let's God. Because it's time to talk about 2011's PureFlix classic, Marriage Retreat, written by Thomas Blaze himself.
And is, you know, couple of goons that he writes with.
Yeah, a couple of jabrones who aren't in this movie, and I don't care about them, so...
Faceless pieces of crap, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly. And directed by who I'm assuming is a nom de plume of David A.R. White, because this movie says it was directed by someone named David Christian with two N's. And I went, well, that's not a real person. So I went to their IMDb page. This is the only movie they've directed. And they edited like a movie from like 2006 or something like that. But if you Google that name, nothing comes up. So it's got to be David A.R. White. Like, it has to be him as a nom de plume. He just didn't... I think this is like one of his first movies. He's like, oh, I don't want people to think I'm a director.
I almost didn't hear anything you said because I want to know where these two ends are.
Oh, they're wherever you want them to be, baby.
Like, is there a silent end at the beginning?
Yes, and that's the thing. I didn't say that they were consecutive. There's ends just kind of sprinkled in and amongst the name. Like, the two ends are in David, actually, which is a weird thing. And there's no N in Christian, but you know that's how it's pronounced.
Put a silent N in your child's name and make one backwards, like Nine Inch Nails. Ooh-wee.
Sick. That's sick. Name your son Trent Reznor.
Or Nine Inch Nails.
Mm-hmm. Name your daughter Trent Reznor. Why not? It's 2022.
Why not? It's a new world.
Yeah, oh, it's a new world order as far as I'm concerned.
I would have been cool if they held the baby up at the end in the rain and called it Trent Reznor.
Oh, you mean David A.R. White and Andrea Logan's real baby?
That was a real baby.
Yeah, that was their real baby.
Looked like a log of wood.
Well, that's a pretty horrible thing to say about a baby, but yeah.
Is it?
Well, you said the baby looks like a log of wood, so...
That's not terrible. There's worse things I could have said.
It has dry skin. Leave it alone. Sorry that it's got deep crags in its face. It's newly born. It's already stressed out.
It's newborn old wood.
Hey, story of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the P.
The U.
Yeah.
The U.
You know... We, months ago, hey, can you drink that coffee already? I see your lips, like, your lips are reaching for it like they want it so bad, and you keep pulling it away. Just let your lips taste that coffee, baby.
I spilt on me.
Oh, God. You were hitting dingers earlier, though, so your day's off to a good start.
Oh, great start. And I crushed one into the field.
Months ago when we decided to start that I would say urine at the end of my opening talk to like so that you knew when you could start talking.
Uh-huh.
It never clicked for me that I'm saying I'm Adam and urine. Like it never clicked for me. I just in my head it was always just and I'm saying urine to indicate that this is the end of my opening. But I'm just saying that I'm urine every week and it never really I don't know how I feel about that.
That's why I would say sometimes I'm urine right after, or urine as well.
Well, I always thought you were mocking
me. I feel like
me.
That got too easy.
Well, yeah, and I like I said, I thought you were mocking me, and it filled me with rage. So
we're both urine. We're all urine.
Yeah, it's the P.
The U.
Yeah, exactly. This movie was made by PureFlix. Very exciting. I didn't see any other production companies at the start.
I am glad for that. I don't want any other big wigs mucking up this very artful look into marriage and God.
For sure. And if you're out there in a marriage and you're struggling, and your marriage, you got an ice queen of a wife who won't even, won't even give you a kiss goodnight, then this is the movie that... Actually, don't watch this movie. Just listen to this podcast. I mean, you already are. So just skip the movie, keep listening to the podcast, and we will save your marriage. I promise you, by the end of this podcast, your marriage will be fixed.
Speaking of which, was your marriage saved by this movie?
Yeah, of course it was. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how independent my wife has been trying to be? And now she...
Do you have any idea how independent my wife is trying to be?
But now we got it. We got it. Everything right back on the right track.
Oh, man. This movie has its comeuppance, and we're going to give it to it.
Oh my God. This movie has some crazy stuff in it that I'm very excited to get. The finale of this movie is bonkers and it's going to be great. So, but we need to, we can't start at the end. We got to start at the start.
Definitely. I feel like the start of this movie needed a death.
Well, I mean, the death of Photoshop comes to mind.
Yeah. Sanity, maybe.
And, like, Tommy Blaze getting, like, canceled because of these photos and this wedding montage.
The wedding montage to start off the credits before any cold open or anything is a beautiful way to start a marriage movie.
Absolutely. Especially when the two main leads, Malibu Down the Family Man and Holiday Sinclair, were married in real life at the time, and they just include like photos from their real wedding. And I gotta say, it looked like they had a beautiful wedding.
Beautiful wedding. And did you see how hot Reggie was?
Oh my God, I have that note. I have Reggie looks so hot.
Yeah. He looks like a normal hot dude, and he should have made it.
God, like his jaw is like chiseled out of granite. He's just got such sharp bottom jaw bones. It's amazing.
Yeah, no wonder he has such a hot wife.
Hey, amen to that, brother. That's a high five just on my end, but I'm imagining you're the other hand.
Yeah, do you think he was angling to be the third couple in this? Because, like, he must have.
The fact that the guy, like, okay, so there's three couples in this movie. Malibu Dan and Holiday Sinclair, Tommy Blaze and his Korean wife, and another guy and his smoking hot wife, Donna, who 100% that character, the dumb guy who stars in a soap opera, was written for Reggie. I bet he just wasn't available to come out to the retreat with them.
Yeah, when you're walking around Hollywood looking that hot, your avails are very low.
Absolutely. Well, and like the guy even looks like Reggie. Like he's got kind of the same hair as Reggie. He's not nearly as handsome as Reggie, but like it's like tailor made for that character. And I think after this movie, Malibu Dan was like, why aren't I just putting Reggie in everything? And so here we are present day.
I'm writing Reggie. I'm going to put Reggie. Was Tommy Blaze at David A. R. White's?
I gotta tell you, I went back and paused the movie at that part to take a look at that image, see if I recognized anyone else. And I don't think Tommy Blaze was in the wedding party, which...
Oh, man. That crushes me, really.
It fills my heart with fright. And,
yeah. Because I see them as this dynamic duo that are just, like, intertwined with each other's lives, you know? Because mm-hmm. he writes, you know, David stars, and that's just the way it is. To see them as not that in any aspect of their life is really fricked.
Oh, absolutely. Tommy Blaze is the Ryan Lewis to David Ayer White's Macklemore. That's probably the simplest way to sum it up.
Yeah, he's like the Ethan Coen to the other Coen.
Yeah, he's his best friend and writing partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm really proud of Tommy Blaze. God, this show is going to become a Tommy Blaze love fest. Like, I can already feel that that's what our podcast is going to turn into, because we love Tommy Blaze so much.
There's just not enough with him in it. He has so much charisma. He oozes 80s style to me in such a old man I want to frick type way.
He's got like major like old craggy Scott Thompson vibes, you know? Yeah.
Like he was in the sun too long when he was a kid.
Exactly, and the sun burned his throat and gave him that rasp, and now he's got that, hey everybody, I'm Tommy Blaze.
Well, and he did it on purpose too. He would lay out in the fields and make the sun have him a raspy voice.
Of course, his favorite thing to do was to lay in a field with his mouth wide open and just go, whatever ends up in there, ends up in there.
Yeah. And probably mirrors that are liars, focusing the sun's strength.
Like, you and I were texting each other lessons that we were learning from this movie while we were watching it. And lesson number two, of course, was that mirrors lie.
That is a lesson that you need to learn during this movie. And there are lying mirrors throughout this whole movie, like the two-way one.
That's true, yeah. And most of the mirrors are like funhouse mirrors and stuff like that. Everyone looks really fat or really like skinny and tall, and it's just a weird choice to put that at a marriage retreat, but who am I to tell Jeff Fahey what to do?
Yeah, what's up with Fun House? Shouldn't it be Funny House?
No, I mean, argue that. What do you mean? Tell me why.
That's because it sounds more complete. More like a true thing that would happen in that movie. Like, it's not fun. It's kind of funny.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah. I guess so. I mean, it is funny to see it, but you can't have funny without fun. So wouldn't you need the fun?
You're right. I relinquish my argument.
And that's why this is the perfect marriage.
Yeah, we hold each other up by more than a petard.
Absolutely. So we're getting a montage of wedding photos from real weddings. And I like seeing the couple, like Donna and her husband. I go, are they married in real life? Like, those photos look real. Tommy Blaze's photos do not look real, but everyone else's look legitimate. So I don't know.
Yeah, Tommy Blaze is the only one glued in. But maybe that's why they couldn't use Reggie, because he wasn't married at the time. He was just wheeling and dealing through Hollywood.
Oh, he was just throwing it in whatever hole he could get it in. I love him.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Tommy Blaze's wedding pictures, like, his wife is Korean in this movie, so it looks, if I had to guess, it looks like they had, like, a more traditional Korean wedding. So it's clearly her wedding, and then they've just photoshopped out her husband's head, and then photoshopped Tommy Blaze's head in, not really, like, color, like, doing any kind of corrections to it, so it looks very awkward, and it's, like, kind of bigger than it needs to be. And not only do they Photoshop his head into the image, they have to Photoshop this, like, crazy Korean hat on top of him, too. Like, this must have been a nightmare to create.
I think they did it manually at Kinko's.
Okay. Yeah, well, why not? I mean, it's just cutting and pasting. That's all. Kinko's can do that.
Oh, Kinko's can do anything.
Is Kinko still
as far
thing?
As I'm concerned?
Do they still exist?
I don't know. Probably.
We're in Haiti.
I mean, who doesn't need paper?
True. Who doesn't need to Photoshop themselves into a Korean wedding? Certainly not me.
Well, Tommy Blaze probably has those photos around his house.
Definitely does. And his, like, they're framed, and his real life wife is like, could we take these down? Like, our marriage almost ended, and now you're hanging up pictures of a Korean woman and you in a pretend marriage. I feel horrible about
And he
this.
Just pushed back, like, the real photos of his family. Like, they're just right behind the Korean photos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he goes, this is the family I wish I had. Oh, okay.
And then smashes a 2.6 bottle into the fire.
Yeah, of course. That's what you do. But that's Mustard Man got in him for that one. So we don't hold Tommy Blaze responsible for any of that stuff. It was all Mustard Man's fault. We understand how this system works.
You know, Tommy Blaze could really play the heck out of Mustard Man. Like, really dive into that character on film.
I'm listening. You have my attention. I like this.
Wow, just picture him in all the yellow, solving crime, solving marriages, solving science problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with faith.
Yeah, then wrestling.
Yeah, of course. Getting rid of the science, replacing it with faith, and then pile driving someone, suplexing them through a table. I love it. Yeah.
Through a beaker.
Yeah, pile driving some nerdlinger scientist right through a Bunsen burner. And going, here in this lab, we practice Christian science. Sorry, I guess.
Oh, man, he's a bully, but we love him.
But that's Mustard Man. You know, you got to love him. He's just, he's a bully. He hates nerds, but he's got a heart I was going to say a heart of gold, but it's more of a heart of yellow, if I'm going to be honest.
Well, the problem is that somebody called him a nerd, and then he just went off, and he's been red-eyed ever since. Even though he works in a lab.
Yeah, well, I mean, they say he's red-eyed, but he actually has yellow eyes because he has jaundice, and that's why his skin is so yellow. Mustard Man is dying. That's the thing about Mustard Man. He's got kidney failure or liver failure.
Well, the powers of Mustard Man giveth, and the powers of Mustard Man taketh away. Mm-hmm. It's you sacrifice, you know, health and everything, but you also have the power of mustard,
bro,
within you.
It's a Samson situation. He's our Mustard Man is our Samson.
Yeah,
we give.
He's our mountain too.
Oh yeah, and we'll watch him slay thousands of soldiers at our behest.
all I can see is Tommy Blaze dressed up like Hulk Hogan, but also in a lab coat and just beating up nerds.
Oh, yeah. See, I picture a little later in the movie where Tommy Blaze is dressed as Mustard. He's dressed as Hulk Hogan, dressed as Mustard Man, but he's dying in a hospital bed of liver failure. That's how the movie, maybe that's how the movie starts. And then there's a record scratch and he goes, yep, that's me. You're probably wondering how I ended up here. Well, it's a gruffer voice, though.
And there's got to be a mustard monitor right beside him.
Well, there's a
to
big.
To see what his mustard did.
There's a giant IV bag full of mustard just pumping right into his veins, which is probably why he has liver failure, if I had to guess.
So if you're listening to this right now and you work at a mustard company or corporation, get on the bandwagon now, because Mustard Man's coming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's the tagline for the movie. Get on the bandwagon now, because Mustard Man's coming. I'm going to go, whoa, all right.
That hits me where I pee. Oh,
oh my God. But the yellow, oh, my gosh, mix the yellow with the white, you know? Speaking of white, David A.R. White is the star of this movie and star of 2011's Marriage Retreat. See, that's a good segue.
He has father issues.
Oh, does he ever? And also his character does, too.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
he's got a neck thing?
Yeah, he's got like a, I don't know, like a snake around his neck. Like he shows it a couple times in the movie, but I don't know what the hell it is. I guess a scar.
Yeah, it's definitely a scar from like a whip from his father.
No, it's a scar from when his father threw a bottle at him while he was skateboarding.
Well, that tracks.
Which, like, where, like, David, walk me through, sorry, Malibu Dan, walk me through that situation. Where were you skateboarding? Where was your father drinking? Why did he throw a bottle at you? And also, kudos to your dad. If you were skateboarding and he pegged you with a bottle while you were, like, full skateboarding, even a drunk has a hell of an arm from the sounds of it.
Well, David A.R. White has a great body, so I'm going to assume that he was at the X Games and he was about to throw down his gold medal run.
Right, he was about to do a 90-100.
Yeah, exactly. The extra one is for God.
Exactly, that's what he said. I mean, well, if we're being honest, he was doing Christ Airs. I mean, obviously, that's what he was doing. It was just Christ Air after Christ Air, and they went, show us something else, and he went, nah, it's all you need.
I can't even think of a different skateboard trick. Give me something.
An ollie.
Okay, so his dad stands up, throws a bottle at him, and yells, do an ollie.
Do an ollie. Dad, I'm trying to Christ air.
Christ airs.
Dad, please.
They're way harder than an ollie.
You're embarrassing me in front of Matt Hoffman. His dad didn't care. He chucked that bottle anyway, and it crashed into him. And you know what? We never heard from Malibu Dan, the skateboarding man, ever again.
Matt Hoffman does motorcycles.
I think he does BMXing. BMX. Yeah. But he would have been at the X Games as well.
Oh, he's there, for sure.
He invented big air.
Clasping hands.
Mm-hmm. Going, don't squeeze my hands too hard. I've broken every bone in my body. Please, don't touch me too much.
Worth it.
Oh, totes. Totes worth it, I guess. Like, God, to be an extreme anything would suck. The whole process would be a nightmare.
It would hurt you a lot, and you're going to regret it in your 40s. Or not. You get infusions and, like, cryo recovery nowadays.
Yeah, you get that mustard drip. You're fine.
Yeah, you're fine. Do an ollie smash.
And the whole crowd turned against him. Even, like, Switchfoot got mad. They were playing a stage, like, 10 blocks away. They didn't care. Everyone's at the X Games.
Well, and he paid to get into the X Games to watch his son compete against the best. And then he just had too many Christ airs. He couldn't take it anymore.
Well, yeah, he was six or seven Coronas deep at that point. He'd only been there an hour, the hot California sun and just everything just mixing up. Seeing his son do all these Christ airs, and he was just like, it's just too complicated. Just make it simple and do an ollie. No,
Couldn't. And well, how they really get you is that the limes are free.
Yeah, you pay for the beer, but the lime is free. And that's the real treat of a Corona.
Exactly. Any other beer, you don't even get a lime.
No, you just have to drink it as is with no lime, unless you're drinking a Bud Light lime. But even without that, it's not a real lime.
Oh, the lime's free. I'm here to see my son do the X Games.
Is your son the one who's been doing all those Christ Airs in the warm-ups? We're so excited to see what else he's got up his sleeve. It can't just be old Christ Airs.
I'm so ashamed.
I hate my son. He didn't even get me a free ticket to this gosh dang X Games. I had to pay $700 for VIP tickets. It's not worth it.
Yeah, so then he slashed his throat.
Hey, that's the way it goes at the X Games. Sometimes you get your throat slashed doing a Christ Air while Amber by 311 plays over the speakers. Sometimes that's just how it goes.
And then later in life, you're insecure about having a child.
Exactly, yeah, that's the start of it. Then his dad dies, and then Malibu Daniel, oh my god, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah, that's effed.
That is effed. You know what else is effed? For the last 43 days, Holiday Sinclair has been icing Malibu Dan, hiding Smirnoff Ice all over the house. You know how drunk he is by 10 a.m. some days? It's not fair.
Yeah, and he's an architect. He has to finish this job.
Yeah, he's doing something for the... Like, I didn't understand once who he was doing a job for.
Aman Al-Haim or something.
The Benny Sumer.
Yeah, he was doing it for the Benny Sumer, but he's too drunk all the time. For all these ices, he can't get the work done. Oh. So, yeah, he's getting iced all over the place.
It's so embarrassing, too. Like, he goes to pick up his Bible, and when he opens it, she's hollowed it out and put a Smirnoff Ice in there. And you just go like, that seems inappropriate, first of all. But also, get down on your knees and drink that thing, Dan. That's the rules.
Yeah, and she somehow found mini, like, Smirnoff Ices that, like, have more vodka in it.
Yeah, it's like what you'd get at a hotel, like a small little travel bottle, but it's, like, 100 proof. Like, it's just, you can use it to take nail polish off. That's how strong it is.
It's moonshine, basically. But it's Smirnoff, and it tastes like a Smirnoff Ice, so it's, you legally have to chuck it.
Oh, yeah. Legally, or else you will be put to death. That's the law. Thankfully, the government passed that law, the icing law, which means anytime you get iced, you have to drink it under punishment of death.
That's my America.
Hey, that's my Haiti. The Holiday Sinclair won't even respond to flowers. Can you believe it?
Or date nights.
Yeah, or kisses goodnight.
Yeah, she's just going to bed early and crying herself to sleep every night. Very, very sexy, but...
Oh, yeah, there's nothing hotter than a woman in distress.
Well, in this dress.
Hey, now we're talking. Tommy Blaze is a risk taker and a house flipper and a gambling addict. And that's his life. He loves playing online poker.
But he has to provide. How else is he going to provide if he doesn't play poker?
Yeah, like, what? Like, doesn't his wife have a job? Like, they don't have kids. So, like, what's she doing all day?
Well, she almost owns a dry cleaners, so that's pretty cool. Probably doesn't get paid for anything yet. Because it's, you know, the child thing.
Well, and she works for her parents, yeah. So it's like, they're gonna pay you in a nice Christmas gift.
Yeah, like chickens.
Oh man, it's gonna be hard to keep chickens in a one bedroom apartment, I'll tell you that much.
Oh yeah, especially with all the poker playing.
Oh yeah. And then the other guy is just some guy who's not Reggie, but he's got a smoking wife like Reggie, so I'm good for him. His wife is like a dollar store Rashida Jones. But that's still a good thing.
Hey, that's an excellent thing. He's a doctor on a soap opera.
And she's a doctor in their life.
Yeah. In human existence.
Mm-hmm. And
which is basically a soap opera.
Oh, am I right?
And they talk like that throughout this movie.
Oh, yeah, of course. And also, she's hella pregnant. She's not fully pregnant. She's only 8 months, I think, when, like, they say that she's 8 months pregnant at one point, which makes the end of this movie very concerning, but we'll get to all that.
Yes. Oh, my God. What a ultra marathon.
Right? Ugh. This movie, here's a lesson for you. Hey, second lesson after Mirrors Are Lies. Second lesson from this movie, talk to your spouse. Like, if you're having problems, talk to your spouse. There you go. Done and done. That's all you have to do to fix your marriage. Talk to them like a real person.
Yeah. Shake them awake in the middle of the night and cry yelling at them.
Of course.
And get all your stuff out.
But when you shake them, shake once, shake twice, but then you're playing with yourself. So be careful. Don't shake them too much.
So if you're shaking your significant other awake in bed
uh-huh.
more than twice,
yep.
you're playing with yourself?
Correct. Yeah. What don't you understand?
Right. So I shake three times and they wake up screaming, "What's going on?" I have to respond playing with myself.
Yeah, exactly. Is our house on fire? No, I'm playing with myself is what you'd have to say. They'd go,
but
huh?
You're shaking me.
Yeah, I've shook more than twice. I'm playing with myself. That's the law. The government passed that law. The shake law.
Yeah, shake it law.
Exactly, yeah. So, everyone's marriage is in trouble. Everyone's stressed out. No one's having a good... I mean, everyone in the entire world, not just in this movie. Everyone in the entire world is having a bad marriage from the sounds of it, so...
It's kind of like a sci-fi movie where, like, every single person in the world is a couple... And their marriage is in trouble.
I can think of one person in this movie who isn't a couple.
Oh, RVJ.
I can think of two people in this movie who aren't a couple then.
Oh, you were thinking of the BS, eh?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, yeah, I couldn't remember that guy's name for the... Like, we watched Run On, and I immediately forgot Brad Stein's name. Like, I pushed it out of my brain immediately. And even looking at the cast list of this movie, I was like, which one is that guy? I don't know who that guy is.
Well, I keep thinking Ben Stein. Whenever my brain goes to pull his name, it just comes up Ben Stein.
Of course.
And I can't replace it with Brad.
Well, that's fine. Ben Stein, why isn't Ben Stein in more of these movies? What happened to Ben Stein? Did he get Me Too'd?
He got too much money. Went crazy.
Damn, that sucks. Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, it was the Visine money.
Oh, was he a Visine guy? He was always like, oh, my eyes, I'm so baked all the time. You need this Visine.
Yeah, he was a known stoner.
Sorry, I guess it'd be more like, I have my I'm friggin' baked all the time. And hi, put this Visine in my eyes.
I'm high in the pie with this guy.
It's not neither of those were bad Ben Stein impressions.
Yes, send us your Ben Stein impressions, care of Ben Stein.
Yes. Send them to pureboyspod@gmail.com or tweet a video of them to @pureboyspodcast on Twitter.
We need a minimum of 5 videos. No questions asked.
No questions asked. Any subject you'd like. Ben Stein, yeah, can talk about anything.
Yeah, Ben Stein, talk about anything. Hashtag. Hashtag it.
Hashtag Ben Stein, talk about anything. So... Everyone gathers at church for one day. It's, hey, let's all go to church. Donna and her loser husband are not churchgoers, so I don't know why they're there. They're just there because the movie needed them to be there, I guess.
Yeah, but it also seems like they're, like, comfortable in that situation. Like, they have been going to church. I don't know.
It's a bizarre thing. But I think this scene starts off with a great line, though, where Malibu Dan and Holiday Sinclair get out of their car, out of their Porsche, and she storms off into church, but then Tommy Blaze and his wife get out of the car, and Dan goes, "Morning," and she responds, "Glad you think so." And I went, I mean, I get what you're doing, but he didn't say good morning. He just said morning. So, glad you think so. Well, my watch says so. I know when it is.
Well, you gotta, you know, nail them down. This one's ice, and this one's nice. And you have to characterize the characters.
Absolutely. What? Why are you so upset? What was your husband up to? Oh, Tommy was playing online gambling all night. Gotta be a better way to phrase that, right? Tommy was playing.
Horses, cards, like, what is he doing?
But he was playing online gambling? What the hell kind of, what a way to describe it? Just say he was gambling. Like, what a weird, sorry, I get hung up on semantics, I apologize.
No, I'm right there with you. I think she should have been replaced after this comment.
Mm-hmm.
Interchange the characters in and out to fit your needs, I think.
Yeah, replace her with Reggie.
Yeah, a double Reggie?
Oh, no, I mean just Reggie and Tommy Blaze in a relationship that everyone in the movie criticizes them for the entire time. And then by the end, they break up and realize they both love women. That's the perfect Christian movie.
That is the perfect Christian movie. Throw in some Bible to solve everything and ooh-wee, sure. You got a spies.
Ice a couple of those guys, you got a movie, baby.
Smirnoff must have paid for a bunch of this movie, hey?
I would imagine with the amount of Smirnoff Ice we see, yeah, probably. Yeah. It's, I mean, everywhere you look, there's someone on their knees drinking a Smirnoff Ice, so...
You gotta look hard some scenes, because they're in, like, confined locations, and you have to look, like, under the bed to see it sometimes.
Yeah, it's kind of haunting when you find them sometimes. It's like seeing a picture with a ghost in it or something, where you're like, oh... I just see someone getting iced in the background. I hope not. That's disturbing.
I really like getting iced, although I refuse to chug because I ain't no bee.
Well, then you're a coward, and I'll never ice you for that. And I hate you for it, actually. You're breaking the law. You deserve to be killed. Sorry.
I don't like chugging liquid. What can I say?
Well, you're breaking the law then. How's it feel to be a criminal?
Haiti rules!
Watching this church scene, all I could think was, wow, I wish I went to this church. Because when you look around, look at the people you're going to church with. You're going to church with Malibu Dan the Family Man, Holiday Sinclair, Tommy Blaze, your pastor is Reginald Val Johnson, and you've also got Victoria Jackson herself, and the Lawnmower Man Jeff Fahey. What a lineup. Yeah.
Jeff Fahey and Victoria Jackson are friends of the church. I figure they pop in like once a month or something.
Yeah. Well, to try to sell people on their marriage retreat.
Oh, yeah. It's a come and grab them type situation. Like, come and grab my followers.
Yeah, that's what RVJ says on his CB radio to Jeff Fahey.
Yeah,
breaker, come and grab my followers. Over.
The CB attachment between these guys is very funny and pays off perfectly.
Like, pays off, I guess. Like, check off CB for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why that's a thing in the movie. Other than, like, for 1 second of tension. It's not worth it.
Well, the phones aren't going to work if there's rain outside, Adam.
You're absolutely right. I apologize. I forgot that there's no landline service up at this place. There is internet access, but no landline service.
And then if you don't lay the pipe of the CB thing in their initial conversation, then the whole movie doesn't make any sense.
Well, exactly. Then what is this? This is nothing. That what? Suddenly Jeff Fahey has a CB radio he can call Reginald Val Johnson on? Sign me up for that world, please.
I think to fix it all you would have to do is have Jeff Fahey pick up the phone and go, oh, it's working because this is just medium rain.
Yeah, this isn't a torrential downpour.
And then the phone works and he can call 911.
Exactly. I hate this podcast that we're doing sometimes because it's making me like Victoria Jackson. It's making me like Jeff Fahey. Like, they're both growing on me a lot. And I, like, when I saw Jeff Fahey in this movie, I went, oh, nice, Jeff Fahey. All right, I like Jeff Fahey. What the hell's the matter with me? He's just a handsome guy, that's all.
Well, they're, you know, 10 years younger, and they have a little bit of a... spring to their step in this movie. And I feel like they took smelling salts before each scene because they're very focused and very competent when they're doing scenes together.
And Vic Jack is acting the heck out of this movie. And like, legit, I have a note written where, like, later on where I go, oh, like, this is actually good acting from Victoria Jackson. What the hell is going on? What is this bizarre world we've entered into?
Well, we just got finished with Fat Chance and the I don't know, polarizing nature of their performances between these 10 years is crazy. Mm-hmm. It's absolute insanity.
They playing like the same character, like a camp counselor kind of.
Yeah. But like she's earnest in this and she's like competent and a great wife.
She cries on camera, like in frame. Yeah. Cry, like you see the tears form and then fall, and I went, that's pretty good, Victoria. I don't think I could do that. That's pretty good.
Well, I would just have to think of the dying earth, and then I could cry immediately.
I'd have to just think of all of those babies stuck in purgatory, and just the tears would never stop. Oh, I shouldn't have thought of it. We have to take a break.
Well, it stings our glue a little bit harder because we were in purgatory for so long.
And we got to know all those babies. And I got to tell you, they're pretty cool. Some of those babies are going to cure cancer. That's crazy that they're up there. But that's the way she goes, you know?
Some of them suck, though. And that's just the balance of life.
It's the balance of life. We got to keep moving here. We're vamping way too much in this episode. This is going to be a 2-hour episode, easily.
We're almost done.
Yeah, that's true. They haven't even gotten to the camp yet. We're almost done. So Jeff Fahey and Victoria Jackson run a Christian marriage retreat up in the mountains. And, of course, all three couples decide to go to it because their marriages are rocky.
Oh, they're so rocky, like the Rocky Mountains rocky.
I love that Tommy Blaze's wife, like when the wives are talking about going, Tommy Blaze's wife is like, yeah, I don't think we can afford to go to this right now. And Holiday Sinclair replies with, can you afford not to go? It's like, well, yeah, like, I mean, money is money at the end of the day. Like if this retreat is $5,000, well, I don't have that to just drop on this retreat happening this weekend. Like, no, I can't afford to go. I'm sorry. My marriage isn't that important.
This is why I think we live in a simulation, because I think by writing this movie, they were forced to write that line. They had to put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make sure that you're putting the onus on yourself for paying for your marriage.
And if that's not in your vows, then your vows are null and void.
Exactly. So they go, I mean, the guys think they're devious by suggesting that they go to this marriage retreat,
mm-hmm.
but the women want to go the whole time.
Oh, yeah. They want to go all the way to finding a happy marriage. I love that Donna's loser husband is like, the boys are playing just like, they're just shooting hoops in Malibu Dan's backyard, but the one guy, the Reggie character, is wearing like a backwards visor and an athletic tank top and like compression socks. And it's like, you're just shooting hoops. Like, you're not playing basketball. But David's sweating like he is playing basketball.
Well, David's the only one that can play basketball well into the night. We know that.
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. I forgot that he's the fighting okra and or the flying okra. I don't remember. Now I don't know which one it is legitimately, so I don't know.
He's the epitome of a fighting okra, but also could be flying.
He's an okra. He's a classic okra.
Yeah, gooey in the middle.
Is that what okra is? I don't remember.
Green on the outside, unless you cook it properly, yeah.
Well, I'll cook it properly then.
Thank you.
Yeah. They head to camp. We see Tommy Blaze is wearing, I guarantee those sunglasses Tommy Blaze is wearing are his own. Those aren't prop sunglasses because they say Loco on the side of them. And I went, definitely something the Blaze man would buy.
Oh, for sure. You're telling me he's going to walk past that at the grocery store and not pick it up?
Those $5 sunglasses, grab them off the rack, baby. You're Loco.
Oh, safe ways, safe it my way. That's what he said.
Yeah, and somebody went, not good. He went, shut up.
Nah, try again.
Yeah, the cashier said that to him as he, like, bought them. Oh, safe way, more like safe my way. They went, what?
Do you think Safeway employees have heard that? Should we go ask?
Yeah, I mean, I can almost guarantee they have. Like, having worked in retail, yeah, I guarantee they've heard that exact thing from people.
I have to know. I have to go to a Safeway in the next month.
Okay, well, go for it. There's
I'll report back.
Plenty in Haiti.
Yeah.
Tommy Blaze, so they all head up to this retreat. But Tommy Blaze, the gambling addict, has a secret. He's signed up to play in an online poker tournament the second day they're at this retreat, which, like, how do you think you're going to get away with that? How do you think that's going to work, Tommy?
Well, he didn't think about it. He just went yellow-eyed and saw a chance to gamble and stuck his toe in, you know?
You're right. And we never find out what the buy-in was for that poker tournament, but it sounds like it was a lot. And he lost it all. Spoiler alert.
How much do you think the buy-in was?
I don't have a frame of reference for that kind of thing. So I'm going to say $200,000.
And I'm going to say $199,999.
Oh, damn you, man. Well, actually, no, that's a worse bet. No, okay, that's fine. I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take that bet. Price is rice rules. I'm winning.
Yeah. Yeah, but if I hit the nail on the head, I'm going to be a god.
That's true, yeah. And I will drown myself in that lake. I won't be able to take it. One penny off? Are you kidding me, Drew Carey?
Oh, Drew Carey, why?
Drew Carey, hot as frick nowadays.
It was about this point in the movie that I realized that David A.R. White has a really weird, like, triangle nose. It's very prominent, but very flaccid at the same time.
Well, and that, and nobody says, come on, like David A.R. White. If that's his bazinga, that's his, did I do that? That's his dough. That's his, that's his catchphrase. Come on.
That was a really good impression. If I closed my eyes, I probably wouldn't know the difference between you and Mr. David.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. I work really hard on that. I like most things we've seen with David A.R. White, he says that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
He said it
in
Run-On.
It definitely is cross to bear.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of, like, the more of these things we watch, the more I go, like, oh, they just recycle the same thing over. It's just, these are all exactly, the scripts are the same. Like, the dialogue's the same. It's all the same stuff. It's so easy to make Christian movies.
Yeah, you just spit out the most conformist line that comes to mind, and you throw in a Brad Stein, and you got yourself a hit.
Exactly. And God forbid you cross Jeff Fahey at his camp. They're all introducing themselves to Jeff Fahey. He says to David A.R. White, he goes, oh, you're an architect. He goes, yeah. He goes, build a lot of houses, do you? He goes, yeah, I build. I'm working on one for the Sultan of Swing or whatever. And he goes, yeah, but you can't keep yours in order, huh? Damn. Got him, Jeff. Roasted him. They paid you $7,000 to be here, and that's how you're going to treat them.
Really makes you think. Yeah, but you can't afford not to go. That's the thing.
That's the thing. You can't afford not to.
Money's no issue to an architect. He's got it flowing all over the place.
Well, yeah. I mean, it is an issue to a gambling addict whose wife doesn't work. So, yeah, it's tough for them. But for an architect or a doctor who's married to an actor, yeah, money's no object. It's fine.
Kind of wish this movie was like a World Series of Poker, fluff piece, and he just wins $1 million during his game.
Yeah, and he meets Jennifer Tilly at the end, and yeah.
Gets her pregnant.
Oh my god, my dream come true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, my dream come true is Tommy Blaze getting Jennifer Tilly pregnant.
That's cool.
Is that cool.
Like a recurring dream, like a couple of nights a week?
Yeah, pretty much every night. I wake up sticky. That's the way she goes.
Weird.
Yeah, that's the way she goes.
Is it the sweat?
I couldn't tell you. It's probably the mustard.
When in doubt, it's probably the mustard.
When in doubt, milk it out, you know? As they're showing them to their cabins, they walk. There's all kinds of activities you can do at this camp. But one of the activities is the husbands stand at one end of a shooting range with a pine cone on their head, and then the wives, who have presumably never shot guns before, shoot paintballs at their husbands. And I don't know.
I don't think they even get a cup.
They get like safety goggles, I guess, but they're just standing there, just faces exposed. Like, all right, honey, try not to shoot me right in the mouth, please.
Yeah. I need safety goggles for my nuts, please.
What is this activity for? What's the lesson of that activity? Like, what, at the end of it, what do they say you accomplished besides shooting your husband in the face with a paintball gun many times?
You'd probably get a lot of stress out, maybe.
Oh, these are for, like, the really bad husbands.
Yeah, this is for the accountants.
Right. Well, of course, getting shot in the face with a paintball would make you straighten up and fly right.
Yeah, it helps you with numbers for sure. And I think the only other activity is you having to piggyback your wife up a hill or something.
Yeah, even if your wife is like 400 pounds, you have to piggyback her up the hill. And that guy didn't look very happy to be piggybacking that lady, I gotta say.
No, but it was all in good fun. Yep. And these men don't know what hit them. There's not a golf course in sight.
No, but the women are in for a surprise, too. When they get to the cabins, Victoria Jackson tells them, "Here are your cabins. Men are in number one. Women, you're in number two." And very pregnant Donna goes, "Why can't women be number one?" And Victoria Jackson rightly goes, "Shut up." But that was nice.
Yeah, it really puts them in their place, and they're like, oh, shut up.
Oh, right. We should shut up about stupid things like that. Oh, yeah. It's just a cabin number. It literally means nothing. Don't worry about it.
Shut up.
Oh. But if I shut up, who will nag my husband?
Hey. Why aren't there more sports and beer and tacos in this movie? Men need to be men sometimes.
Yeah, you know, sometimes they just, after a long day of gambling online, sometimes I just want to undo my pants and sit on the couch with a cold brewski, you know, without my wife just nagging in my ear, just nagging constantly.
Yeah, your husband's already lost his nut. He doesn't need to lose his wife.
Well, he does say that to her at the end of the movie when he's like, "You don't have to rub it in my face when I lose. I know I've lost. I know what it feels like. Can you just support me, please?"
Yeah, I need you to build me back up. It's kind of an earnest scene.
Yeah, not bad acting by some of these people, for sure.
Oh, Tommy Blaze gives it his all in every scene.
Oh, yeah. So does Holiday Sinclair when she says things like, "Well, God did make women to be good helpers to men."
Truth. That's in the Bible.
That's in the Bible. There's a lot of Bible quotes in this movie that a modern woman would not be thrilled to hear, I'll tell you that much.
Like how modern? Like 2044?
Like anyone born after 1987.
Ooh. Just cut
so not you.
Right out.
You're not modern. You're old.
You.
That's you. Right.
I'm crushed.
You're crumpled. Hey, speaking of recycling lines, do you want to know what Victoria Jackson's favorite quality about her husband, Jeff Fahey, is?
I think she said husbandry.
Yeah, I think that he's he keeps her subservient.
really?
No, her favorite thing about her husband, Jeff Fahey, is that he reads the Bible when no one is looking. And yes. I went, where did we hear that before? What was that from?
Where did we hear that? Because I couldn't figure it out in my brain.
I couldn't remember either, but we've definitely heard that exact line before and in another one of these. Maybe it's like probably from Malibu Dan or from Hitting the Brakes. It's probably from one of those.
Oh my God, Hitting the Brakes. What a love fest.
I wish we could go back. RVJ!
RVJ.
The R. So then we get this creepy scene where they're like the men and the women are put in two separate rooms and there's a mirror in between them, but it's a one-way mirror, and so like the men are like watching the women talk about them, but Jeff Fahey like yells at them about it, and it's like, bro, you built this room. Like, you built this room with that intention.
And they can hear them, but when the light comes off, they can't hear the other side. It seems like something weird's going on. I think there's an extra dimension that we're not considering.
Like a fourth or fifth dimension?
Yeah, like somebody's actually, like aliens are running the marriage retreat.
That would make sense. Well, it's for the Benny Sumer, so of course. Jeff Fahey hates these men. He hates these men so much, and he doesn't try to hide it. He just walks in and goes, spying on your wives? That's pathetic. It's like, bro, come on. Come on, bro.
Well, the way his personal life is oozing into his work, because they have gotten a sweet, creamy deal to buy this land and turn it into a ski resort. And he wants to take the money and run and see the world. But he knows his stupid wife wants to stay and help couples.
Right, just because she grew up there and it's her home and she loves it. What a selfish bee.
But he's the leader and it's his decision to make.
Yeah.
But he still wants to consider her a bit, I guess.
Well, and it's her responsibility to support him. That's a wife's job. That's a woman's job, period.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she will cry for that life.
Oh, yeah. I love that he just keeps saying, like, they made an offer to buy the camp. Who? Who made an offer? This nebulous...
Whom?
Whomst was the Bagger Vance of this offer?
Maybe it was Bagger Vance. I have to assume it was the X Games Corporation.
No, yeah, right. I forgot we were talking about X Games in this episode.
X Games highly featured in the, you know, lines between the lines of this movie.
Absolutely, yeah. So one at a time, all the people go in to see Jeff Fahey, and he roasts them one at a time.
Yeah.
We find out You're a bit. We find out David's dad, or sorry, Malibu Dan's dad, used to abuse him, and now he's cheating on his mom, and he's left her. Like, God, Malibu Dan, your life is a nightmare.
Well, he has daddy issues.
Oh, big
time.
He
also wants to win every conversation, and he gets his ego stroked a little bit, or not at all, and he just turns it into ego stroking.
Did you like when Donna goes into to see Jeff Fahey and he goes, give me your hand. She gives him her hand and he just writes pen 15 on it. And he goes, once you figure that out, you'll save your marriage.
Yeah. And then he like wets his finger and like puts it in her palm.
And he goes, there's your swimming pool.
Go for a dip.
We find out that Holiday Sinclair's pregnant. Uh-oh. But Malibu Dan doesn't want to be a dad because he's scared because his dad was an abusive piece of garbage and he's worried that he's going to be that too, I guess.
Yeah, he's insecure. He doesn't know really what to expect. He's lost and scared, and fatherhood is a mountain that he has to climb.
He's going to have to. Sorry, no choice.
We all have Chloe's mountains.
Exactly. Exactly. And this is Dan's mountain, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, the gambler's gonna gamble. He loves gambling. He talks about it often.
He freaking loves it. He loves it. He loves it so much, he's willing to steal a key card from a mentally disabled janitor in order to break into the computer that is for staff only in a public area to try to gamble in this poker tournament.
I would argue that Brad Stein, as Joey, is mentally stabled.
Ooh, oh, well, I would argue the opposite based on the way he talks and acts.
No, he's just being that funny, kooky dude.
Well, he's very much a Richard Karn in that we see him get kicked in the head by a horse. So, I mean, I guess I get where it comes from. But there is a great... Sorry, go ahead.
Well, swallow that sword.
Oh, hey, nice. That's what the horse says to him right before he kicks him. Yeah.
Horses can talk, they just choose not to.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Listen and you'll hear them screaming in the middle of the night. Because they're lonely. They're scared of the dark.
Yeah, but your dumb ears probably think it's wolves or something.
Yeah, or like, I don't know, a woman or something. And you just go, close the window. Not interested. No thanks.
It's just a woman in the night.
It's just a woman screaming, help me, I'm scared, in the middle of the night. Shut the window, go back to bed.
It's probably a ghost or something.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'll tell you what it isn't. Two guys playing pool very well. I'll tell you that that's not at all what you're hearing.
They don't even set up the rack correctly.
No.
And, eight ball corner pocket while they're still racked up isn't a thing.
Well, like on the break, he's going to go eight ball corner pocket. How? Isn't the eight ball in the center of that? It's designed so that the eight ball can't go in the corner pocket on break?
It's like he walked in the door and yelled eight ball corner pocket without even playing.
Exactly. Well, that's because he just got back from buying a bunch of Coke. Yeah. He pointed to Tommy Blaze and he's like, eight ball corner pocket. And Tommy's like, let's head to the bathroom, buddy. I'm here.
Yeah, that scene took like 24 hours to do because they were in the bathroom way too long.
Oh, yeah. Just talking about what else was in their corner pockets, you know?
Did you think about them staying at this cabin to film and just partying every night?
Yeah, they were definitely doing wife swaps, all kinds of stuff. It was a kinky time, baby.
Well, they could use that like pregnancy pillow and just have a fun time with it.
Why not? Yeah. I don't think it's a pregnancy. I think they just shoved pillows under her shirt to make her look pregnant.
Well, yeah, probably. But maybe it's rubber.
Maybe it's a basketball. I mean, it's round enough. Maybe it is a basketball. I don't know.
Yeah, but like a basketball with silly putty over it.
Well, yeah, exactly. To make like silly putty so it looks like human skin.
Yeah, you can make the belly button.
Silly putty or Play-Doh?
Silly putty.
Yeah. Hey, I got another one. Pinocchio or Howdy Doody? What?
Howdy Doody. Actually, Pinocchio.
What is this, though? What are you doing, Tommy Blaze? You're just yelling things and making people pick between. Is this fun to you? I don't get it.
Oh, it's definitely fun for him. It's the funnest thing he's ever done.
Oh, yeah. Spider-Man or Aquaman? I don't know. They're very different. I don't know.
You don't know Spider-Man or Aquaman?
Yeah, I don't know. They're very different in terms of what? Which one's better
in
the water?
Glory.
Which one flies through the air? Which one, in terms of glory, Aquaman's a king. He's the king of Atlantis. Him.
Yeah, but Spider-Man's the king of Queens.
No, that's Kevin James. Thank you very much.
I would argue it's Spider-Man.
Well, I would argue that it's Kevin James. So I guess we're at an impasse and our marriage is crumbling around us.
Those are the two, though. Like, if you're going to argue who the King of Queens is, it's Spider-Man or Kevin James.
Of course, absolutely. It's not Leah Remini, I'll tell you that much.
Maybe it is Leah Remini.
You know what? Maybe it is. Boy, that'd be a real twist.
They should bring that show back just for that.
I love the idea of them playing foosball and then Tommy Blaze just going, who's the King of Queens? And they go, what?
Spider-Man.
Leah Remini. Oh, crap. Jerry Stiller. Oh, no. Patton Oswalt.
No, Patton Oswalt's too small.
Yeah, no, he's not the queen of anything.
He's the jester for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which comes first? Hey, here's a question for you. Which comes first? Husbands loving their wives or women serving their husbands?
God, that is so tough. I can't even... women serving their husbands.
Correct. Yeah, that's the correct answer. Thank you very much. Yep. You nailed it. 100%.
Well, the onus is never on the male because he's the leader.
Yeah, the male gaze? No way.
Such a fun phrase. I think the male gaze is tops in my book.
Absolutely. That's right. I don't know why Nick Nolte showed up to say that, but there he was.
Well, I did say tops, and then you say Nick Nolte, and it's a whole thing.
Of course, it's a whole thing, yeah. After the foosball game, David Ayer White is sweating a ton again, and nobody else is sweating, but he's sweating a lot. I was worried about him.
He's a man of sweat. Like, he would be sweaty in every scene if he had his way.
For sure. Oh, yeah. But they went, well, it's gross.
He's also directing, so maybe he's, like, running back and forth from behind the camera.
That's why he's so sweaty. He's got to do both jobs. It's exhausting.
Yeah, you just, like, notice it during the sports scenes because it, like, you're supposed to be looking for that.
Yeah.
He's sweaty in the other scenes, but you're just not supposed to see it.
No, you're too busy looking at his big triangular chin or nose.
Yeah, he's got a honker. He's got, like, a Muppets Christmas Carol honker.
That's awesome.
That's awful.
So as they're leaving... As they're leaving the foosball game, the women are coming up from the other side of the camp, and they meet. Ugh. And David has this great line when he goes, hey, Holiday Sinclair, I hope Jeff Fahey wasn't too hard on you. I know it's hard being a loser. And then she gets mad and storms off, and he goes, I don't understand what went wrong. So, well, you called your wife a loser to her face, so that's probably a good place to start.
You don't give your wife a handful of drugs and then... call her a loser.
Yeah, exactly. When you're the one supplying the eight ball in the corner pocket.
Yeah. I think those were poppies. Like, it was a hard line to Snowville, if you know what I mean.
Oh, man. They were doing opium in those cabins.
You guys doing opium in these hills?
You guys playing online gambling in these hills?
I wish that every single character were having, like, a LAN party and online gambling with each other by the end of this movie.
Yeah, that's the lesson everyone learns. It's like, wait, we should just quit our jobs and become online gamblers. Brought to you by World Star Poker.
Easy money.
That's right. Make money sitting in your underwear, bilking money from other people in their underwear. Everyone's a winner except all those losers.
Get a good network router, because it's about to go off.
God forbid you get a connection drop while you're in the $200,000 buy-in tournament to get to Las Vegas on December 25th to see the World Series of Poker. Fly in on Ricky Martin's birthday and make sure you meet Jennifer Tilly at the airport.
Be generous with your waitstaff.
Get her pregnant and find out what a Jeff Fahey, Jennifer Tilly baby looks like.
Get her pregnant and just see how generous you can be.
I couldn't tell you a single other poker player in the entire world. Not even any of my friends.
Well, there's Phil Hellmuth.
Nope. There's not.
There's Phil. There's the guy from Welcome Back, Kotter.
Jennifer Tilly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest.
And the rest. Here they all are.
Gilligan.
Look at them. They all got mirrored sunglasses. Their hats pulled down low. What a bunch of creeps.
Here's some flowers because you're such a loser. Now love me.
Why doesn't she love me?
What? Come on.
Come on. yours was really good. That was really good, too.
Thank you, man. I think we're coming together. We're really laying into this whole Pure Boys thing.
Oh, yeah.
Really getting her going.
Oh, yeah. So Tommy Blaze, it's now, I guess, the second day of marriage retreat, and it's time to gamble. It's time to go onto this public computer and gamble my marriage away. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, he hasn't hit rock bottom yet, and you really have to show that on film.
Mm-hmm. I love that he logs in and then is immediately busted by his wife. Like, doesn't even get to play any poker. Just, like, the cards are being dealt, and she goes, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh, my plan lasted 4 seconds.
I don't know what... That's a library computer if I ever saw it. And they probably have high-speed satellite.
Yeah, they've got Starlink or whatever the hell that new rural internet thing is.
Jeff Fahey gambles online all the time. He just doesn't lose, so his wife doesn't hate him.
I do love that they when they're talking to Tommy Blaze's wife and they're like, do you hate that he gambles or do you hate that he loses? She's like, oh... I don't know. I never thought about that.
She doesn't really answer. She kind of escapes.
No, because the answer is she hates him.
Well, his voice is too raspy. Who could have sex with that?
Oh, my God. He's like, That's what it's like having sex with Tommy Blaze. Oh,
I wish I was Mustard Man.
Oh, I'm about to bust.
I hope I get the role of Mustard Man.
You will, Tommy. Don't worry.
You're our ace in the hole.
God will provide you with the role of Mustard Man, of course. Yeah.
There also is a child-sized cross at this church.
Of course.
Above the Jeff Fahey's desk. Had to get that in there.
Of course. And you know what it's for.
Well, they're going to crucify a child, but I don't know where they're going to get this child from, because this isn't a children's camp.
Are you
kidding
me?
Well, not now anyways. Maybe during the summer.
I can definitely think of where they're going to get the child from for this group of people, for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we'll circle around. We'll figure it out later. But for right now, I don't know.
One time when I was a kid, I got in trouble because I was using a cross and pretending that it was a crossbow.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. It looks exactly like a crossbow.
That's what I thought, and I got in trouble for it. And I went, well, fine.
Did you argue that cross is in the title?
That wasn't that, like, I was like a kid. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just thinking, like, I'm a cool crossbow man.
Yeah. So you didn't have a formal argument?
No, I wasn't prepared for a formal argument. And certainly when I was sat down in front of a jury of my peers and put on trial for it, I didn't come prepared. And I was my own lawyer. What a foolish thing to do.
Well, did they give you the time and the education to create a formal argument?
No, I was busted and then immediately put on trial. It just seems unfair.
That's fricked.
Yeah, can you imagine being arrested in your own home?
Can you imagine getting arrested in your own home?
Yes.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I cream about it every day.
So, for some reason, all the couples gather around a pond and just scream at each other. Like, just argue and fight. I don't understand why that all happens the way it happens, but who
am
I?
Oh, it's really dumb. David and, you know, his wife are in a boat, and then the hot people are on either side of the lake yelling at each other.
Yep.
And then Tommy Blaze is running away from his gambling, and then the Asian woman catches up to him and stops.
Yeah, well, that about sums it up. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then yelling, oh, you suck, I suck, we should suck together.
Yeah.
Let's climb up a mountain instead.
Let's climb Chloe's mountain. Like, they keep referring to that as a lake, but you could throw a rock from one side to the other. Like, it's a pond at best.
The Malibu doctor could definitely hit his wife, pregnant wife, with a rock from across the lake.
Of course.
And tries to, but then David A.R. White stands up in the boat and yells no.
And then he falls into the lake. And then that doesn't comedically diffuse all the tension for some reason. Isn't that the point of a pratfall like that?
Yeah, but I just don't think they had the time. They're running out on the, you know, the usage of the resort.
Right. The real camp was going to start soon. They had to get people out of it. Well, you can see all the real people going to camp in the background. There's just real people walking around doing stuff while these maniacs scream at each other.
Yeah, it was really triggering because it was nerd camp and Mustard Man almost came out of Tommy Blaze.
Oh, my God. You could see, like, mustard starting to leak out of his ear, and he wiped it away. I was like, oh, my God, I gotta get out of here, guys. I got to go gamble. I got to gamble away this Mustard Man.
Yeah, nerd teens, you gotta stomp that out as quick as possible.
God, he's getting fighty
fingers.
Because
they got laptops already.
Oh, yeah, they can look at pornography on the internet.
Yeah, or at least, like, Sears magazines online.
Yeah, somebody scanned all the sexiest pages from the Sears catalog from 1996. Yeah. Have you seen how thick those underwires are? Ooh!
Yeah, and sometimes you can see side boob, which is,
You know you have a problem when you recognize the models and other things and you go, uh-oh, oh, I know these lingerie models too well, uh-oh.
Oh, no, not Chloe's Mountains again.
Oh, no, fun at camp or whatever.
Yeah, Celine Dion's doing Sears catalogs now.
Is that the truth?
No, Sears is dead.
Yeah, hell yeah, it is. In Haiti Sears is dead. Let's make it clear, we live in Haiti. We're recording in Haiti, not a place where Sears exists.
Haitian Sears is thriving. It's called Haitian Sears, due to copyright, but US, I mean, we love you Sears.
Sponsor this show. Resurrect yourself from the grave and sponsor this show, please. So now we get to the big, like, the big climax of this movie.
Yeah, we're at the lowest point for all three of these couples yelling at each other around a pond.
Exactly. So it's time to climax. And in order to do so, Jeff Fahey drives all the... Oh, also, during the lowest moment, Reggie, screams out that he knows that she's Holiday Sinclair's pregnant. So now everybody knows she's pregnant. I don't know how he found out, but everybody knows now. It's weird that he's the one that spills the beans, because how did he find out?
It's weird that the next scene, Holiday Sinclair's belly is like three times the size it was for the previous like three quarters of the movie.
Well, she can stop sucking in her gut now. Now she can just kind of relax and let that baby pop out.
Yeah, that's a weird scene when she just like lets her belly go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, when she goes, ugh. And you see her shirt just explode at the bottom.
But she's rubbing Crisco over her belly the whole time so she doesn't get stretch marks.
Of course.
Smart.
Very smart. Absolutely. Yeah. So, in order to save these marriages, Jeff Fahey drives the three couples to the top of a mountain, and then they chain them together, and then they make them walk down the mountain. And I'd like to remind listeners that there is a 2-month pregnant woman and an 8-month pregnant woman doing this friggin' hike down the mountain. Smart.
Well, this is where the rubber meets the rubber. And the extremely pregnant lady gets a hand shackle instead of a foot shackle, so it's safe.
I just thought of something when you said the rubber meets the rubber. I want to write this line into a movie. This is where the rubber meets my chode.
Yeah, that's like a last line maybe, or maybe an opening line or something.
I like to end a movie on that.
Yeah, maybe both.
Like a very religious movie, there's nothing, you know, inappropriate about it, and then the very last line is just someone looking right into the camera going, "This is where the rubber meets my chode."
So the chode in this instance is your pen 15.
Yeah, once you figure out what that means, you can put that rubber on whatever you want.
Yeah, these lexicographers will never figure that out.
Why do they get wrist chains? Well, I'll tell you what. When you come back 8 months pregnant, we'll give you a wrist chain.
Okay.
Like, bro, don't do that to an 8-month pregnant woman. Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Also, Tommy Blaze and his wife have wrist chains, and she's not pregnant. But yeah. Holiday Sinclair's pregnant. Just very confusing at the end here.
And she doesn't even have mommy brain yet, so you can't even, like, justify putting restraints on this person. Until they get mommy brain, then you can restrain any woman legally.
For sure. Absolutely. That's the law. But, like, it seems way more impractical to be shackled together by your hands than your feet.
Well, not when you're rolling down a mountain.
I guess. It's a very bizarre thing because it's a hot, sunny day with no clouds in the sky. It's probably like 30 degrees outside. And they're just, here's one bottle of water. The keys to these chains are on the crucifix back at camp. So good luck to you. And no one goes like, yeah, we're not doing this. Like, she's super pregnant. We're not doing this hike, man. Don't make us do that. But they do. Sorry.
They don't even get like a Haitian cliff bar or anything.
Oh my god, what I wouldn't give for a Haitian cliff bar right now. The white macadamia one? Oh, I love it.
Yeah, bananas in pajamas?
They're coming down the stairs.
Wet bananas.
Yep. That was my nickname in high school.
What?
So, of course, on the walk home, you know,
they all die.
Everyone dies. It becomes an alive situation where they have to eat each other, and it's a beautiful thing to see. All these couples come together to eat this pregnant woman.
Well, yeah, and it really shows the power of God.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when Donna, like, loses her mind and goes like, I figured it out. I figured out what pen 15 means. I shouldn't be your priority. God should be your priority. Like, lady with a baby in your belly, you should be your husband's priority. I can tell you that confidently.
No, God should be. Like, he's going to pray for a good birth and that it shoots out super clean. And
no problem.
And that's all you can do.
Yep. And then suddenly it's night, and it's pouring rain, and these couples are still lost in the woods. Again, I'll remind you, an 8-month pregnant woman and a 2-month pregnant woman. Lost in the woods in the middle of a rainstorm with no jackets or anything, so it's freezing cold at this point.
And a Tommy Blaze, so that's a wild card.
Oh, anything could happen when the Blaze man's around.
Yeah.
Obviously, Malibu Dan and Holiday Sinclair get to the cross first. And that's a, you know, nice moment. She unchains him and goes like, I'm totally like your servant now. I love you, husband. What do you need me to do for you, the man?
Yeah. So that's buttoned up. That's that storyline's good to go.
No problem. Tommy Blaze goes, stop mocking me when I lose. I know I'm a loser. And his wife goes, I married a loser. And then that's buttoned up. Yeah. Good to go. Marriage saved.
Saved.
But then we hear the screams of a woman in distress. And
oh, it's just a wolf.
Ah, It's just a bobcat. That's all that is.
No need to call 911.
Nope. But there is a need to call 911 because Donna is in labor. Believe it or not, hiking down this mountain in the hot, hot sun, which turns into cold, cold rain, would somehow induce early labor on this 8-month pregnant woman. I can't believe it.
Here's a lesson for all you chickens out there. Stress induces labor.
Amen to that. All I could think watching the finale of this movie was, well, you're ruined, Jeff Fahey. These people are going to sue you out of existence for this. Like, yeah. And as they should. I normally think most lawsuits are frivolous and ridiculous. But in this case, I go, sue them till there's nothing left of this camp, for sure.
Well, that baby is going to be too cold to live when it doesn't have a blanket and it's super wet all over the place. And so, I mean, the sequel to this, the obvious sequel, is a litigious court case between Jeff Fahey and the Malibu Dans.
Exactly. Well, and the Donnas and the, you know, actors.
Well, and you get Kate in there instead of Holiday Sinclair.
Oh, my God. Don't do that to me, man. Oh, my God. Don't tease me with seeing Kate again. That's very unfair.
RVJ is the judge because he's also the judge and the priest in the town.
Of course, yeah, and the butler. He's everything.
Yeah, the butler did it.
Oh, I feel like we're trapped in a game of Clue. What the hell does that mean, Donna? What are you talking about?
Just give it up to God. You'll figure it out.
Amen. God will provide, all right? Just don't do anything with your life and God will provide. Just do, just, it's whatever, man.
Holiday Sinclair, you know, runs away immediately, and I think halfway when she's running away, she figures she should probably get help.
Yeah. Yeah, she runs away in terror and then goes, oh, wait, I could just get help while I'm running for my life. Yeah.
Tells Jeff Fahey, and he has to call 911.
he keeps referring to it that way.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotta call 911.
Do you think David A.R. White and Tommy Blaze were, like, panicking behind the camera and, like, you got to tell him it's 9/11, man.
Do you think anybody called it 9/11 before 9/11 happened?
Probably not. I just think Jeff Fahey is so, like, removed from normal society that he's never had to call 911 or hear anybody say 911. So he read the script as 9/11 and nobody corrected him.
Yeah, well, the first take, he went, I have to call 911. And they went, you don't need the 100. the 9 is good. The rest needs work.
Yeah. Oh, what? So 9/11 then?
And they went, all right, cut, print, fine. Good enough. We're running out of film. That's fine. Good enough, Jeff.
Victoria Jackson, could you talk to him?
Victoria Jackson, where did you get those bright green cowboy boots? I love them and I want them.
Everybody needs boots like that to feel like a human, you know?
Amen to that, brother. Absolutely. So, tries to call 911, doesn't work. Luckily, he's CB radio buddies with RVJ. Yeah. Gives him a dingle.
It takes a little while because RVJ thinks he's talking in code. He doesn't know what's going on. Like, 911? Who did what?
Pregnant woman? 911? What are you trying to say?
Oh, a pregnant woman caused 911.
Correct.
So that takes a little while to iron out, but eventually they call emergency services, which we never see.
No, because, and it doesn't matter because the baby is born on the dirty old ground. They don't even take her inside. Like, she's just like, squirt it out on the dirt. It's like, well, we're like 10 steps from this cabin. Why don't we just carry her in there and put her on a bed? Nah, let her give birth in the rain and the mud. That's a good place to do it.
Nah, it's a wet dirt birth. You just gotta squeak it out into the open. It's a 2-push birth.
Yep.
Big one. They use like a person stepping on an egg as the sound.
What?
That when the baby comes up, there's like a.
Oh, I didn't know that was her. That was her ripping.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that was her urethra ripping.
Yeah, and she was like, "Great! I'm so glad we're on the dirty ground and not in a bed. I'm so grateful for this. Thank you. Let the rain wash away my tears and the blood from my rip. Thank you."
Yeah, the Kegels are going to be earth shattering.
Oh yeah, but luckily Jeff Fahey's got a needle and thread and he sews her right back up. Even does the husband stitch in there for her.
Oh yeah, is that a real stitch? A real stitch?
It is a real stitch. It's a gift to the husband. I guess it's a thing that people used to do. I don't know if they still do it, but You got to sew it back up once it rips.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. So.
That's gross.
Everyone's marriage is saved. Yay. Yeah. Thank God that baby didn't die. Yay. Thank God there weren't complications with this preemie baby that came out early. Yay. That's great.
The baby gives Malibu Dan the strength to have the child that's already in his wife's belly.
Yeah, he goes, maybe I do want to be a dad. And she goes, well, yeah, good. Whether you do or don't, it doesn't matter because here it comes.
Yeah, here comes the glue. Duh.
Exactly, yeah. Dave, don't, if you don't, hey man, if you don't want to get your wife pregnant, don't bust in her all the time, bro. Bust in her less.
Stop taking her out to these fancy dinners and obligating her to have sex with you.
Yeah, to let you bust in her. Bust anywhere else. Just
like,
it's not hard. That's not against God's law. Putting a rubber on your chode, that's against God's law. Just pulling out and busting on the sheets, that's fine. God loves that stuff.
David A.R. White's pre-cum is so filled with sperm because he's jacking off all the time. So it's not his fault. That's what he says every time.
We're going to cut that clip out and send it to David at David A.R. White on Twitter.
It's not my fault.
God makes me bust.
What did you think of this movie and the scene where they drive away and it fades into the quickest credits I've ever seen?
Less than a minute long. I have that written down. I was like, less than a minute of credits? That's impressive. They didn't want to waste any time.
No, they were getting right to the meat of the matter. 122. Log it in.
Oh, yeah. They just whip by. They whip by so fast, you get a whiplash. Who played who?
You looking at me, looking at you, looking at me?
I thought when the credits rolled up, I thought that there was like two lists of names, like that they were just like, these are the people in the movie. But then like one of the names was just like Joey. I'm like, well, there's not a person whose name is just Joey. And then I realized, oh, these are the characters they played. All right, that makes more sense.
Joey is Brad Stein. And that's all he gets is Joey.
He's just Joey. Joey, the man who got kicked in the head by a horse.
Joey the janitor, we salute.
Hey, we love you, Joey. Hey, Joey, I know you're crippled by loneliness and you just want a woman to love you, and you've probably never felt the touch or the loving embrace or a kiss from a woman, but me, Tommy Blaze, I'm here to tell you that marriage isn't all it's cracked up to be, you know, pal? I know you're lonely all the time and you live on a camp, but, you know, my wife, she just doesn't like me online gambling all the time, so that's pretty unfair, hey?
Well, if you touched a water balloon, you've touched a boob, and I always say this.
Well, here's the thing. I prefer a water balloon filled with sand. That's what a breast feels like to me.
Well, to me, you get a water balloon, and you cover it in some silly putty, and you basically got the female form.
I mean, we could argue this until the cows come home. But Steve, what did you think of Marriage Retreat?
I thought it was an A-class production. I thought the cinematography really nailed the head on the letter. And I also feel like there was a couple of blips in the sound production at the beginning, but they smoothed it out, baby. And it was a lovely ride. I give this 8 stars.
Of David. I give this 1 child crucified on a tiny cross.
David.
I love you.
I love you.
We love you. Okay. No. Hang on. Here we go. And there are.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys. It's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got 2 throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what?